Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Joining a low vision support group can be a great way of sharing thoughts and ideas for living with low vision and daily life tips.
We'll speak with Jim Fleming of Visionaries, a small support group in upstate New York, and Alice Crespo of Helping Hands for the Disabled, a large support group in New York City, about what they and their groups do. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Alice Crespo.
If anyone is having problems, vision problems, or any other types of disability problems, that they should reach out to a support group and to someone who can help them so they won't feel all alone and so that they will make the best of what they do have.
Often people with vision difficulties may feel a bit isolated, like they're the only ones with certain particular issues, or they're the only one in their neighborhood that they know that has some vision issues. But, you know, if you join a support group, you'll find other people who may be facing similar issues, and you can share your thoughts on how to overcome some difficulties with them, or just socialize and meet some new people with common issues.
And as you'll hear later in the episode, both of these groups take many field trips, and you get to see things and get exposed to things that you might not otherwise think to arrange on your own, or might even have trouble arranging it on your own.
Now, one thing I do want to point out is that support groups may not be for everybody, but even if you don't join a support group, there is lots of help on the internet these days. So if you're looking for daily living tips, we've certainly done lots of shows about where to find information about how to do certain tasks, information about new technologies that could be helpful to people with low vision, etc. So, you know, check out the internet, do a Google search, and you can also find lots of information there if you don't want to join such a group or if you don't have one in your area. But if you don't have one in your area, we'll also be talking about how to start your own in this show.
There's also an international low vision support group run by Dan Roberts, and we did an episode about that a couple of years ago, number 1435, and we will be referencing that in today's episode as well. So even if there's no support group in your local area, you might just be able to find one to join anyway. Let's start by meeting Jim and Alice.
My name is Jim Fleming. I run a low vision support group here in Webster, New York. We call ourselves the Visionaries. I've been facilitating this group for about 15 years, and we meet on the first Wednesday of every month for about an hour, hour and a half, over at the Webster Community Center.
Do you have any personal experience with low vision?
Yes, I do. I have non-arteritic anterior ischemic optic neuropathy.
That's a mouthful.
It turns out that in 1987, a blood vessel shut down to my optic nerve. And then when that happens, the nerve atrophies to a greater or lesser degree. And in my case, it was a moderate atrophication, and I'm left with partial vision in my left eye. And that was not a real problem. But in 1999, just after I retired, the second eye went, and that became a bit of a problem. I'm left with a cloudy vision, blind spots in some areas, foggy in other areas, and my acuity is 20/70, so I'm right on the cusp of being able to drive legally. So it's very manageable. It could have been a lot worse. I was very fortunate.
And Alice?
My name is Alice Crespo. I'm founder and director of Helping Hands for the Disabled of NYC.
And that's based in Manhattan?
It's based in New York City. We serve the five boroughs, Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, the Bronx, and Staten Island.
Do you have a visual impairment yourself?
I'm totally blind.
Did you lose your vision later in life?
No, I was born premature. I had too much oxygen.
That was common back then.
Yeah, I'm 64. I was born in 52. and I lost all my vision due to the incubator. Mm-hmm.
What do you do when you're not working on helping hands for the disabled?
I work as a Spanish interpreter. I worked for 31 years for Supreme Court Criminal. Now I'm freelancing. I'm active in my church. I run a Bible study for disabled people. And I'm very interested in helping particularly newly disabled people to learn the ropes and to be as independent as they can.
So this organization is just one piece of what you do for other people.
Right.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is low vision and blindness support groups, including what you can put into them and what you can get out of them. We spoke separately with Jim Fleming and Alice Crespo about their respective organizations, but as you'll hear, their groups do many similar things. Jim, how many members are there in your group?
Right now, I send out every month we have a mailing list of about 80 people, and we communicate either by email or by telephone, depending on what their capabilities are, and about 35 active members, I would say. And when we boil down to the meetings on Wednesday, there'll usually be between 5 and 25 show up. I was just looking at my data. I think the most we ever had was 27. So it's a good size for a support group. If you get too many, you can't handle them all. And there's no such thing as too few. We can always get more intimate with the smaller groups.
Can you tell us how you got involved leading that group?
Yeah, it started in the year 2000. A nurse named Pat Cleese from the Office of the Aging, Office for the Aging, I guess it is, came to Webster with the offer to start a support group for low vision people. And they accepted that, and she started it. I saw an ad in the paper. This was in the year 2000, and it was just after my second eye went down. And my wife saw the ad in the paper that a low-vision group was being formed. And she called it to my attention, so I was ripe for the taking. So I became a charter member of this group. And that went on for about 2 years, with Pat Cleese leading it. I became an active member. I really enjoyed making contributions and being a part of it. But after about 2 years, she wanted to move on. She didn't have a vision problem of her own. So she moved on, and I was actually anxious to jump in and take over as facilitator. So I started that in 2002. So I've been keeping it going for 15 years.
And what's the name of the group?
We are registered to call ourselves the Visionaries. When I took it over, I've come up with that name, Visionaries.
So you mentioned that you had some functional vision at the time, but you found this group useful anyway. Can you tell us about the types of people who were in the group initially and what their vision was like?
They all had modest vision. There was nobody who was totally blind. It was in 2002, there was a woman by the name of Kate Chamberlain who lived out in Wayne County. And she had her own support group out there called the Lemonade Society. And they actually joined us. They came over and joined us. So she's totally blind. She has a guide dog. And she, from 2002, has been a contributing member of our group. Perhaps you know Kate Chamberlain.
Yeah, we do. She's pretty cool.
Yeah. She's a wonderful woman. And her guide dog, Tulip Grace, she's the only one that is totally blind.
What was the age range of the people who were members?
It's part of the senior program over at the community center, so most of them are over 60. We've never put that requirement on. There's no need to be that of that age, but it turns out that most people are.
So it sounds like this group had a range of people with different vision problems, from just starting to have some vision issues to people who are totally blind, but yet they found some commonality in this group. Can you tell us what kinds of things you guys did to support each other and how useful people found this?
Well, I was kind of taking some notes here, and I conduct a meeting in one of four different styles. One of them, we have an open forum. The second one, we have speakers. The other type, we go on field trips. And then we have special presentations. So there's a whole variety of things that I've pulled together over the years. As an example of a speaker, I have a date here, October the 1st, 2008, Dr. Peter Torpy spoke to us.
We do remember that.
The subject was the impact of technology on living with low vision. And of course, Nancy Torpy was with him. So those are the four classifications. Of course, our mainstay is the support group where we just sit around in a conference room around a table, and everybody introduces themselves by name, by calling it out. Those that can't see who's there can't hear who's there. And we go around the table and share with any concerns we might have, introduce any new members that may have joined us. And everybody's welcome to speak and talk about their concerns. If they don't want to speak, they can just sit and listen. And like you say, there's a whole wide variety of people who are just maybe concerned about glasses, all the way up to people who a recent person joined who had brain damage, the whole range of eye problems.
Do you have an official relationship with the town?
It's an unofficial relationship other than that we're there. We do have some access to some of the services of the town, and that is the ability to get transportation. That's problematical, but it is there. The community center offers a nutrition program for the elderly, and for a nominal fee, you can come in and have lunch 5 days a week. The lunches are actually prepared down at ABVI and delivered out to our site. The transportation to and from lunch is provided by the medical motor services, and we've been fortunate enough to tie in with that group. Some of our people eat lunch there, so as long as we can tie in with that service, we're able to get access to their bus. So we've had many and many bus trips over the years thanks to that linkage.
And how do most people find this group?
The publicity, I keep a posting in the Around Town section of the Webster Herald. That comes out every week. So there's a notice in there of a low vision support group, and it describes what it's about and who to call if you're interested. That's our main source. Sometimes we get referrals from down at ABVI. Kathy Shaffron has sent many people out rather than go to their support group down there. It's more convenient oftentimes if you live in Webster to come to ours.
And ABVI is our local association for the blind and visually impaired.
And they provide a wealth of services around the community.
So this sounds like this is a great forum for people to share ideas about issues they're having with their vision, even if they just have moderate vision loss, to just being a nice social organization where people can meet friends with similar interests and kind of do some networking.
Exactly. I don't like to think it's social, but on the other hand, when I see all of these trips we've gone on over the years, it looks like I'm a travel agent here. It is quite social in that respect.
Can you describe some of the field trips? Just kind of, you know, we went to the zoo kind of thing. You don't have to tell us all the animals.
Yeah. The Webster Public Library, we're going there actually next month to see their newly remodeled library. The Rochester Memorial Art Gallery is a classic place. We've been there many times, and the folks down there go out of their way to accommodate us and people with low vision. Of course, they have described artwork, the audio description of artwork that they offer. So they've just been wonderful over the years hosting our group for a little or no fee. The nice thing about the museum is, and particularly those sculptures, is you can put on gloves and those who can't see can touch. And I remember Kate Chamberlain at one point was being allowed to touch one of these wonderful sculptures in their gallery. And she wrote about it in her newspaper. And it's very wonderful description. And she described herself as being in tangible heaven. And I just thought that was wonderful. But it's that sort of thing. Jiva Theater, we've gone to Jiva Theater and toured the downstairs area where they make the sets. Went to a Pike stained glass studio and nobody got cut that I know of. Lollipop Farms and Susan B. Anthony House and ABVI, many trips to ABVI and bus trips to the with the town historian to see the cobblestones of Webster. So I've had a lot of fun actually organizing those with the aid of Faith Bell over the years.
Wow, that sounds like a travelogue of the greater Rochester area. You've hit all the high points.
Yeah, I don't think we missed too many. In January, we usually get together and plan for the year. It never gets all set up, but it's a chance for everybody to chime in and make suggestions, which they do.
So this is great to know that this type of resource exists in the Rochester area. Do you have advice for people in other parts of the country or world who are looking for such support groups in their area or who would like to start such a support group?
I would start out going to mdsupport.org and Dan Roberts. Here's a guy that I know you're familiar with. He puts together every month an audiovisual presentation that can be downloaded from the web. If you're associated with him in what is called the International Low Vision Support Group, we're the visionaries and I've affiliated us with that group. And he has support groups online. Even has telephone support group that you can call in if you're homebound. But that would be a good place to start. Just go to mdsupport.org and learn about Dan Roberts and all the things that he can offer regarding support groups and his international support group.
We actually did an entire episode talking with Dan Roberts about his online support group. And we did a separate session where we spoke with Dan's wife about what it was like being a longtime partner of somebody who lost his vision after they'd been together for a while. And those two episodes were number 1435 and 1442. And as usual, we'll have links to those in the show notes for this episode.
And it sounds like you've also forged some close relationships with the local Rochester Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, ABVI, which you've mentioned several times. That must be very helpful to have that kind of collaboration.
It is. It is. Anybody who comes in for the first time, one of the first questions you ask is, have you been to ABVI? So that's a must do for anybody who's just come down with a vision problem. Go to ABVI and check out their wonderful capabilities.
And we, of course, did two episodes about the services that they provide as well, and those were episodes number 1148 and 1202.
So we learned a little bit about one of the support groups around the local Rochester area. Let's hear what happens in other cities.
You may remember in Alice's introduction, she mentioned that she was the founder and director of Helping Hands for the Disabled in New York City.
How long have you been associated with this organization?
I started it in 1982.
And what prompted you to do that?
I was doing some volunteer work as a telephone friend and talking to a lot of people that were lonely, that had problems, that no one ever took the time to take them out to have a good time. And I decided I wanted to start an organization that would focus on other things other than just taking people out for medical appointments.
And this serves now as a support group for people who are visually impaired or having some vision issues. Is that right?
It serves as a support group for anyone with any type of disability.
So not just visual.
Right. But right now, the biggest group that we have is the blind and visually impaired.
Can you give us an idea of what kinds of services you provide for people with disabilities?
What we have is volunteers that go to people's home and help people with shopping, running errands, reading mail to the blind. And then we have a food program, which is for people who run out of food stamps before the end of the month. And then we have an action line, which is to answer questions or just discuss concerns about disability. And we also try to help people with any kinds of problems that they might be having.
How large of an organization is this in terms of the people being served and the number of volunteers?
We have about 100 people, and we have about 40 to 50 volunteers on and off. And we try to serve anyone who, if someone calls and says, I need someone to take me shopping next Monday, I will get on the phone and find a volunteer who can help them.
So this is a great way for people who may feel isolated and sort of on their own to find some extra help and to network with other people. Do you also have group meetings at any point?
The first Saturday of the month, we have a restaurant club. The first Thursday of the month, we have a movie night. The second Saturday of the month, we go to a nursing home to do a social program for residents of the nursing home. And the third Saturday of the month, we have what's called Be a Friend Day, where we all meet, and then everybody's assigned a volunteer who can help them for 3 hours with shopping or just sitting in the park or anything they want to do.
Do you do social outings as well? You mentioned that as one of the things that your volunteers do, maybe one-on-one. Do you do group social outings?
We do. We've gone to Atlantic City. We've gone to Philadelphia. We've gone to shopping malls. We've done all kinds of things.
So this sounds like a really great support organization. And I know there are similar support organizations in other cities around the country and probably even around the world. But I'm wondering, if one doesn't have this kind of group in their own town, how does one get started? How did you get people together to get involved in this idea?
What I first did was I told a few friends, and then I put an ad in the Disabled in Action newspaper and got people that way. And then I reached out to Catholic Charities, and they had a newsletter at the time, and they put it in there, and that's how we got quite a few people.
So you just really built this up from the grassroots like that at an individual basis?
Yes.
That's pretty impressive.
Thank you.
And how do new people, including the disabled and volunteers, find out about your organization these days? Do you still advertise, or is it all word of mouth?
No, we do advertise in the ABLE newspaper. We will put up flyers in churches, schools, anywhere we can to advertise our program. And we write to the independent living centers in our city to have them also tell people about us.
Oh, that's great. So people really shouldn't be intimidated if they don't have something like this in their own town. This really can be started by an individual and just grown little by little, huh?
Yes, if people wanted, somebody contacted me about starting one, but then decided not to. But yeah, you can start from, you know, grassroots up and getting the volunteers and the people you need to help you.
Well, I guess that will give our listeners an idea of what types of support groups are out there. There's various different kinds, and how you might start one of your own if you don't have one in your local community.
Now for this week's final item, how to reach Jim Fleming and Alice Crespo, and how to learn more about their respective support groups, the Visionaries and Helping Hands for the Disabled. So if somebody wanted to contact you for advice about starting or leading a low vision support group, would that be okay? And if so, how would they do that?
Sure. Love to talk to anybody about that. Just call me at 585-872-4166.
Many of our listeners are abroad, and that would be perhaps an expensive international phone call. Do you have an email address you'd like to share?
Yeah, jflem100@rochester.rr.com.
And that obviously was Jim Fleming, as you could tell from his email address. And now for Alice Crespo.
If people do have questions for you in terms of starting their own organization like this, how would they contact you?
They can call me at 718-606-9712, or they can email me at hhd4fornyc@aol.com.
You've got a fairly extensive website where people can find out about these services too, right?
Yes. Our website is www.hhdnyc.org.
And I understand you also put together a book that could be quite useful for people who find themselves in these situations. Can you tell us the name of the book and a little bit about it?
Sure. I've written a book called Never Be Discouraged. With God, All Things Are Possible. And that book is the story of my life as well as the starting of my nonprofit organization, the challenges I faced and how I overcame them.
And where can one obtain the book?
You can get it from me by writing to me or calling me, or you can get it from Inspiring Voices. But if you want an audio copy, you have to contact me.
So we let Jim Fleming and Alice Crespo provide their own contact information. They also talked about the MD List and International Low Vision Support Group run by Dan Roberts. And here's Dan Roberts from an earlier episode of Eyes on Success providing contact information for the MD List and International Low Vision Support Group that he runs.
I'm Dan Roberts. MD List is the original chat room. It's simply an email discussion group is what it is, like a group phone conference, except it's email. They can simply send an email to mdlist@mdsupport.org with the word subscribe in the subject window.
And if they want to contact you directly?
If they want to contact me, that would be director@mdsupport.org.
As part of your MD support organization, you run an international low vision support group?
That's right. This is a group of groups. We have 120, at last count, groups around the world, about 30 states and 13 English-speaking countries that are affiliates with MD support. We have 2,500 to 3,000 people around the world in 120 groups.
And how would a local group join this network of information sharing?
Simply go to mdsupport.org, and it's obviously identified there on the homepage. It's called International Low Vision Support Group. Click on that, and all of the information is right there as to how to join. There's no cost, there's no obligation, but they'll start immediately getting the materials.
So there was a lot of contact information there and references. And as usual, if you're looking for any of that, you'll find it in the show notes associated with this episode at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for show number 1651. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about Pete's favorite iPhone apps. There are hundreds of accessible apps for iPhones. Many of these apps even perform similar functions. But which ones do you want to choose and which might be the most useful? We'll talk about Pete's favorite apps and the ones he uses most often, along with demonstrations of several. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-210-8094.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, at Eyes on Success, or Twitter @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success and have a nice day.